Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello there, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are in the middle on our second week going through Romans chapter 8. And this is a fantastic, fantastic passage. And friends, like normal, I want to encourage you to not just read this passage when we're going through it together on air, when you're listening to it on the radio or when you're listening to it on a podcast or wherever you're listening to it. I want to encourage you to take these readings that we're going through, open up your Bibles, underline if you feel comfortable. I wish you could see my Romans 8. It's literally every single line is underlined and there's notes taken because I want you to live in this word. The pages are frayed of my Bible here because this is a page about my identity in Christ that I frequented over and over and over again for strength, for depth in Christ, to make my roots deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to hear it here, but I want you to go back into your own word in these words that God's given you. Write down in your journal what he's speaking to you. Get after it. Wear the pages out of your Bible, because what we're hearing together is amazing and is beautiful, but there's more that the Lord wants to speak to you. And for this to become your source of food, for this to become your weapon, for this to become so close to you that it's falling off of your own lips, you need to spend time with it as well. And so I just want to encourage you in that, to get in your own word and to take the encouragement that we have on this show. But as we're reading this, go in there and what promises do you see God giving you? What power do you see moving in the spirit? What do you see happening in this word? And pull it out for yourself and begin to practice that. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're going to pray and we're going to be in our psalm. Remember, we're just going through psalms. We went through Psalm 1, 2. Now we're going to go a little bit in Psalm 3. And then we're going to get back into Romans chapter 8. And I would encourage you, yesterday, I think the Spirit really fired us up. And we talked yesterday about something so amazing, our minds can't even grasp it, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Unbelievable, powerful, mighty words that changes our lives. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode from yesterday. So we're going to pray our psalm, and then we'll dive in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O God, for thou dost smite all my enemies on the cheek. Thou dost break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people. Lord, we thank you that you are a shield, a shelter against our enemies, against our foes. We pray that if we're in a season of suffering, if we're in a season of battle, if we're in a season of hardship, Lord, that you would meet us there and that you would be our shelter against the foes. That anything that we face, we have confidence because you are with us. You are the one who brings deliverance. Lord, we put our life in your hands, for we cannot deliver ourselves. Deliverance belongs to you, and we trust that you will deliver us, O God. Arise, O Lord, in our sufferings and our circumstances and the ways that we're misunderstood. Be our vindication, be our shield, be our shelter. And we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. What a great passage. And I love how we see in the Psalms, just a quick detour. In the first Psalm, we saw like, oh Lord, I'm taking delight. I'm taking pleasure in who you are, in your law. And then the second one, we were declaring the Lord has set himself on Zion. The Lord is king. It was a kingly Psalm. And now we're crying out to the Lord. We're lamenting to the Lord of saying, Lord, in my circumstances, deliver me from my enemies. Deliver me from my foes. It's so powerful. all of the different psalms. And so that's why we want to pray them. And so we want to start off here in Romans chapter 8. We had just finished verse 11, right, which is this amazing. We're going to start there, and I'm going to read another little chunk. Starting Romans 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. Wow. There is a lot there. There's so much there. It's so deep and rich. And so we're going to start again. We're going to go verse by verse. And I'm not sure how much we're actually going to get through on this because this is so rich. So it says, So then, brethren, right? What is he saying? So then, he's saying, if the Spirit of God dwells in you and has raised your mortal body to life, so then we are debtors not to the flesh. The flesh is this word sarx in Greek. It doesn't just mean the physical body, right? The self is a life driven by sin, driven by self-centeredness and disordered desires. You are not debtors to the flesh. You do not owe something. What does it mean to be a debtor? What does it mean to be in debt? You owe something. I still have some school debt. I owe something to the government who provided me with aid, right? But he's saying you owe nothing anymore to your flesh. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. We are not obligated to serve or obey sinful desires anymore. There's no obligation. We are not tied to the flesh. So he's saying we are not obligated to serve or obey these sinful desires because we owe nothing to our sarx, to our flesh. You are not debtors of the flesh. Why? Because now we live by the Spirit. So we've been set free from slavery to sin. There's this idea when we're enslaved to sin. Paul talks about this. When we're enslaved to sin, when we're enslaved to the law, we're living under it. And when you're enslaved, like think of like indentured servitude. In the olden days, they like owed something to this master. And so they're living out their debt by paying the service through this slavery, through working it off. This is the kind of relationship we had with our sinful flesh, that we were like tied to it through this slavery. We were living in a slavery to sin, in a slavery to our emotions, in a slavery to our fallen flesh. But Paul's saying you might still have those inclinations, but guess what? There is another way. And for some of us in our life, friends, I don't know if you've been ever, maybe you're in it now. If you've ever been in a deep pattern of sin and you're like, I'm baptized. I know that I'm saved by Christ. I love him. I want to love him, but I can't seem to stop. I'm enslaved to this thing. And we get in this place of discouragement. We get in this place of a pit thinking, will I ever change? I can't do this. I can't get out of this. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's simple, but I'm saying what Paul's saying to us here is an encouragement of you have a life in the Spirit. So you do not need to live according to the flesh. It's not who you are anymore. And so now to live according to your nature is to live according to the new life in the Spirit. You are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. And so living according to the flesh, a lot of us in a lot of ways, I know in my own life for so long, I was just run over by my flesh. I loved God. I really did. I had a relationship with Jesus, but these inclinations, even whether it was sexual desires, whether it was lust, whether it was even just like wanting to fulfill my emotions, wanting to feel a certain way, wanting the situation to be about me, or like, do you ever walk in a room and you're thinking more about how you're feeling than about how the other people might be feeling and about loving them? That's an example of living according to the flesh. Or I used to get really angry. Sometimes I still do, you know, and walking in that anger, and instead of having righteous anger, choosing to satisfy and gratify my flesh by having an outburst of anger. Or when someone wrongs you and you really want to talk to someone else about that person, and so you choose to gossip to fulfill and gratify the desires of the flesh. There's a lot of ways that we are continuing to gratify the desires of our flesh. Even I was trying to figure out fasting, and I was feeling called to fast from some things in a particular situation. And I felt like, you know, the Lord was calling me to fast from coffee and buying coffee. And I was like, okay. And then I immediately was like, okay, well, I'm going to buy like matcha, and I'm going to have this whole morning routine, like doing really intensely, like getting this bougie drink and getting matcha and doing something totally different. And I felt the Lord being like, you're just replacing one gratification with another. You know that I'm calling you to sacrifice this, but because your flesh doesn't want to be starved of what you want, you're just moving to another realm of gratification. Or even I remember I gave up social media, and I was trying to stay off social media, but then I found myself shopping a lot more on Amazon. And so I was being aware of the movements of my heart, that when I gave one thing up, my flesh was going to find gratification in another thing. And so Paul's saying, do not live by that flesh. In fact, starve that flesh and do not give in to the bodily desires. But I love this. He's saying, if by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. Paul will say this in other places, that it will be this really intentional thing. Well, he says, train your body unto godliness. That there's something of, yes, we're living of the, according to the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We're moving by God's power, but we have to be moving. And we are the ones who decide if we move. And so it's a practice. It's a choice to say, I am now going to stir up the power and the Spirit in me and make a choice not to gossip, and make a choice not to believe the lies of the enemy, and make a choice not to fall into that sexual sin. It's not like sin just happens to us. There's a choice that's presented to us, and we have to train our bodies, and our trainer, the power that we have is the Holy Spirit. So we have power to do it, but we still have to walk in that. So choose. Just like you choose to set your mind, choose to put to death. How do I choose to put to death? One action by one action. I'm choosing not to enter into that activity. I'm choosing not to gossip. Next time I'm strengthened, I choose not to gossip again. I do it again and again and again. And as I'm doing that, I'm putting to death the desire of my flesh to gossip. And so it's this combination that the Spirit lives in you. So now there's a new way that's open, but you have to choose to walk in a new way. And we want to become people who stop gratifying the desires of the flesh so we can walk in newness of life. Why? So we can look like Jesus. So we can be transformed by the power of love to become people of love. Amen. Join us again tomorrow, friends, as we're back in the book of Romans. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.